Take your Bible, 2 Samuel 16. We're continuing our study on the living peaceably. We've spent 3 weeks on living peaceably with your enemy. But tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 16, I want to, I'll promise you, there's not a handful of you that have ever heard anything like, well, nobody's heard anything exactly like this, but probably very few, if any, have ever even been taught anything about this. Tonight, I'm going to talk about living peaceably with your friend's enemy. In other words, how to treat the enemy of your friend. I think it will be enlightening to you. This is something that you all will need. And trust me, you say, why? Because I have enemies and I'm your friend. So there's a certain way to handle that. That's why I said, I know you all going to need this. So hang in there. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Let's start reading in verse 5. You follow along silently, and I want to read this story to you. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David, and all the servants of the king David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and I will take off his head. I like this guy. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David, who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. May be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Now, this is honestly one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I'll show you why here in just a moment. It's one of the most unusual stories in the Bible, and not much is said about it. Let me restate that. Most people won't say much about it because they don't want to live the principles taught in it. That's the hard part about it. Now, let me say this. I believe in loyalty. I believe in being loyal. I believe that loyalty should be expected, but I also believe loyalty ought to be earned. And I believe in loyalty. You want to get the preacher upset, disloyalty does it real quick. I don't handle disloyalty real well. It goes against every fiber of my body, trust me. I have to calm myself around disloyalty, because if I do what I want to do, I would be Abishai and take their head off. Honestly, that's how I view, you know, a dog can be loyal. How come people can't? You know, any old dog can be loyal. How come people have to shoot each other, be disloyal? Shimei is one of Saul's, King Saul's relatives. He sees David walking and David's men with him. David is fleeing his son Absalom. Absalom is in the midst of a rebellion to take over the throne. It would be similar to somebody cursing President Trump while the Democrats are trying to overthrow the government. Did you hear what I just said? That's what they're trying right now. They are literally trying to overthrow the government, not President Trump. They are trying to take control of the government. This is not about President Trump. By the way, you say, well, why is all this happening? This is called clearing the swamp. He's exposed who the swamp is. And when he gets reelected in the next year, he'll be able to help you unelect them. That's the whole purpose of it all. Find the ones that aren't doing anything except fighting everything, get rid of them and put new people in their place, and we can clean the swamp. That's what it's called, all right? But back to the sermon. That was for free. You didn't even have to tithe for that one. David is walking, and this man, the relative of Saul, comes up. Can you imagine? David's heart's already broken. David already doesn't know if he'll still be king of Israel. David already has his very own son who is fighting against him, trying to kill him, trying to overthrow his dad. His heart's already broken, and then this guy comes up and starts cursing him, saying, all this is your fault, you're a bloody man, and I'm glad your son's trying to overthrow you, and God's getting back at you by using your son to do this. You talk about ripping the wounds open. Can you imagine that being thrown at your face? I don't know about you, but the only thing that bothers me is I don't see the rest of the men behind Abishai saying, here we go. I wouldn't ask permission. I'd just start going. That was the only difference between Abishai and me. I wouldn't ask. I'd have just hit it out of there. Now, wait a minute. Abishai says, David, why should we let this dead dog curse the king? I love that. I don't know if that was Hebrew cussing, but I sure do like it. He said, let me go over and I'll take his head off. Now, I personally tend to be much like Abishai. If my enemy has a battle, I tend to jump in, rip their head off, and then I look at my friend and say, why did I do that? I don't ask questions. If somebody's jumping on you, I'll jump in, clean house, then I'll ask you why I did it. Say why? Because that's what I do. When somebody attacks my friend, I'm going to jump in the fight. Everybody understand that? I won't defend myself much, but if somebody's attacking you, you better be dead to rights. I'm going to jump in. It's going to happen. King David's reaction is not what we expect, but it is the reaction God expects. See, King David said to Abishai, stop, let him alone, and he said, back off. Let him say what he wants. Look at verse 10. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David, who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And he says, look, he said, let Shimei curse. He said, maybe God will use this for good for me later. But we need to back off. By the way, let me say this. King David served King Saul. This is one of Saul's relations. David wasn't defending his record even. He didn't say, well, I served your relation. He tried to kill me and I still served him. I was loyal. No, he didn't defend himself. He didn't defend his record. He said, just let him criticize. He's only one voice. He can't hurt us much. Just let him alone. Did you know most of the time your critics and your enemies, they're pretty lonely people. They travel alone. Say, why? Would you want to hang around somebody like that? They're pretty lonely. They don't hunt in packs much. And he said, just let it happen. Now, David tells these men that they need to let God have vengeance on Shimei. Remember, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. After David speaks to his men, Shimei goes up on the hill over top of them. And while they're walking on the trail down below, Shimei is throwing rocks and dust and cursing every step of the way. And the Bible says, I love what it says here, verse 14, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary. You don't know what it's like until you've had somebody constantly staying after you, criticizing you. It wears you down. And they walked and walked and walked and walked and wore them down, because you say, why did it wear them down? Because they all wanted to go up and kill this dude. David, would you? No, just shut up and let him say it. Just dodge the rocks. Don't react. We've got this. Oh, how hard that must be. In other words, David was teaching them to live peaceably with his enemy. Now, if I, let me say it this way. Let me bring it down to where we live. If Brother Barnes has an enemy and Ellen's attacking him, sorry, you're sitting in close proximity, but if Ellen starts attacking Evan, and I jump in and I now attack Ellen, guess what? I have chosen an enemy. And that violates every principle God says. God said, don't choose an enemy. Your enemy chooses you. The moment you say, but I didn't do that because I hate them. I did that to defend my friend. But the moment I start attacking, I've taken on God's position of vengeance, and I have now chosen an enemy to fight with. And it's wrong. I don't choose an enemy. My enemies choose me. I'm an enemy to no one, but I have enemies because they've chosen me. Now, listen to this very carefully. I am not to choose anybody as an enemy. I am to lay down tonight and have no animosity in that little ticker right there for anybody. I am not to have hatred in my heart for any human being. By the way, I don't. I cannot control who is my enemy, but I can control that I'm not an enemy to anyone else. Now, me choosing to fight my friend's enemy means I've just picked an enemy. And that violates the first principle. So let me give you four things tonight, I think. Three or four. One, two, three. Three things. Three things tonight. Are you ready? This is in reference of how to treat the enemy of your friend. Number one, I will not let anyone criticize my friend in my presence. Folks, I don't let people talk bad about you. Say why? You're my friends. I won't listen to it. I won't listen to anybody criticize any of my friends. Say, why? Because I'm not going to listen to it. Say, but it's true. According to whom? You see, too many of us want to listen to the negative. Now, listen to this very carefully here. I don't let anyone be critical in my presence, but especially they're not going to be critical of my friends. There is an off button on your phone for a reason. And I've used it many a time. Click. I've warned them. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. I'm done. You say, what do you do when they call back? I let it go to voicemail. I don't answer it. If they try back in a couple hours, I might answer it. And I'll start by saying, before you say anything, I told you before, you're not going to be critical. If you can talk and not be critical, we'll continue the conversation. If not, hit the off button and we're done. Usually by then they've calmed down. You say, well, that's rude. No, it's rude of them to attack somebody else. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to get into a fight with somebody. But I can remove myself from the situation very quickly. If Brother Joe is going to argue about Brother Josh and criticize Brother Josh to me, I'm just going to say, Brother Joe, love you, but I've got something else to do. You can keep talking, but I'm not going to listen. See you later, bud. And I'm going to walk away. So you would stop in the middle of a conversation? Yep, you guessed her, Chester. You say, why? Because I'm not going to stand there and listen to anybody be criticized like that. Everybody doing okay? I don't let people criticize great people's memory. Here's the thing. I know some of those great people. I knew their faults. I know things about some great people that you don't know. But I'm not going to let anybody criticize them. Say, well, shouldn't everybody know? What good is it going to do if everybody knew? Those people didn't have nail prints, and neither do I, and neither do you. What good does it do anybody? Everybody doing okay? Well, you're just trying to cover up. I'm not talking about covering up sinful things. There's just some things people don't need to know. We know your feet stink, but we don't need you to take your socks off and throw them at us and let us smell them. So why do you want me to take somebody else's socks and let you smell them? That's what you're asking. You see, you can attack me all you want for my stand, but I'm not going to let you attack somebody else in my presence. Oh, I've seen too many people destroyed by these kinds of attacks. I'm not going to let you destroy yourself, and I'm not going to let you destroy my friend by attacking them. Usually the one that does the attacking is the one that's destroyed, not the one who is attacked. Did you hear that statement? Most of the time, the person destroyed is not the one who's being attacked. It is the one who is attacking them. 1989, Brother Hiles had the mother of all battles. Oh, it was an ugly one. The man who led the battle, this is no lie, the man who spread the battle, in less than 1 year ended up with tongue cancer. I watched Dr. Jack Hiles write a $10,000 check and send to the man to help him with medical bills. This guy did everything he could to destroy Dr. Jack Hiles. Are you doing okay? He loved his enemy, even though that man tried to destroy him and everybody around him. The people that attacked him, it didn't go well for them. He went on for another good night, 89 to 01, another 12 years. The best 12 years of his ministry were those 12 years. More people saved and baptized in those 12 years than the 20 years before that combined. Everybody doing? Now listen to this. I could mention the names of the people that attacked him, and nobody but maybe two, three people in this room would know who they were. And that's only because we were all there at the time. You see, I've watched too many people get destroyed by this negative stuff, so I don't allow it in my presence. Number one, I don't want to be a part of the destruction. When the bomb blows up, I want to be as far away as I can be. Y'all know that? I like guns, but I like being on the right end of the gun. I was purchasing a weapon a couple years ago, and I was asking the person there, I said, well, I've been told that this caliber might not be strong enough for what I want. He said, Pastor, do you want to be on the receiving end of that one? I said, no. He said, do you want to be on the receiving end of a 22? I said, no. He said, guess what? It doesn't matter. He said, that one's got plenty of what you want. He said, you don't want to be on the wrong end of the barrel. He said, as long as you're on the right end of the barrel, it doesn't matter what the caliber is. Good point. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a 45 or a 22. I don't want it pointed at me. I don't even like a BB gun pointed at me. I'm not much for these airsoft guns being pointed at me. It just drives me up a wall. You say, why? Because I was taught that a gun's not a toy. You pull the trigger, it goes boom, and things die. That's what they're for. In other words, I don't want to be on the receiving end when that thing goes off. I will be friendly to you even if you attack my friend. But it doesn't mean that we're going to fellowship. David didn't allow Abishai to become an enemy to Shimei. David stopped him from becoming an enemy to his enemy. Can I tell you something? If somebody attacks the preacher, do me a favor. Just let him go. You say, why? Because I don't need you choosing an enemy. I need you to be the Christian. I need you to step up. Now, you might tell them to shut up. You might tell them something like that, and you walk away and withdraw. That's fine. But it doesn't mean you get into a knockdown dragout and spread their name all over Facebook and CNN and all the other sewer lines. All right? That's not what we need. In other words, just don't listen to the criticism. You don't have to worry about it. Number two. This is where we're going to separate big boy and big girl Christians from the others. Are you ready? Number two. Don't socialize or participate with the enemies of your friends. Don't socialize or participate with the enemies of your friends. Listen to this very carefully. I will be a gentleman to everybody. But just because I'm a gentleman to somebody doesn't mean I'm going to go to dinner with them. I'm not going to go eat a meal with an enemy to my friend. The battle I was telling you about with Brother Hiles in 1989. I watched two men in that church take people to, let me meet you for lunch. Let me meet you for dinner. Let me wine and dine you, and let me tell you all the evil things that your pastor's doing. And by the way, be careful what you read on the internet. Most of you believe everything you read. Oh, I wish I could stay there a while, but I won't. They were known. It was so bad, Brother Hiles got up and said, look, my enemies have forced me to, in an effort to protect you, I've got to expose who my enemies are. And remember, on a Sunday night, got up and he started listing names. And he said, if you go out to eat with these people, this is what you're going to hear. I mean, he was prepping everybody. I had one of those yard birds approach me. I had just graduated from Bible college. I looked at him. I said, dude, I said, you're talking to somebody that loves Brother Hiles. I think you ought to shut your mouth before it stays shut permanently, because I will close it permanently. Oh, you're one of those. I said, yeah, put me on that list right at the top and tell all your cronies. He said, you did that? Mm-hmm. Never talked to him again. Didn't need to. Be careful when you're, and I'm not saying don't go out to eat with anybody, but when you know somebody is attacking your friend, don't go out to eat with them. When Marcia's attacking Randy, don't go out with her, Ellen. Now, when Leanne's attacking Randy, go ahead and go out because you get good information. That was too good to waste. I'm sorry. Can I tell you something? Let me help some of you that aren't quite as perceptive on some of these things. You don't go out with them to find out if you can figure out why they're mad at your friend to put them back together. Wrong answer. Number one, if you've got to do that, your perceiver's not wise enough to put it back together to begin with. Number two, you're not the one to put it back together. I don't go out with an enemy of my friend to find out why they hate my friend to see if I can get them to become friends. That is not a wise idea. You don't put a snake and a mouse in the same box and expect them to get along for very long. And evil is a snake. That's why the Bible says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But you don't put them in the same box. Because one of them's not coming out alive. Everybody doing okay? If you do try that, is all you're going to do is drive the hatred deeper. And then you're starting to become an enemy. Or you'll have another enemy that you didn't have before. Folks, I'm not on a competition to find out how many enemies I can collect through the years. I tried to avoid them. And you're going to end up in an argument out of sincerity, trying to put them back together, and you're only going to make things worse. If somebody doesn't like your preacher's guts, can I tell you something? Don't take them to lunch. Because then is all you're going to do is make them attack me that much more. That's what happens. Everybody doing okay? Now, why would you want to bring something up that's going to cause somebody to be critical and talk, and you're going to listen to critical? For you to go out and meet with your friend's enemy and try to put them back together, you're going to have to listen to the negative. And I'm not going to listen to the negative. Point number one. Therefore, I can't do that. Everybody doing okay? Now, I don't need to hear your side, the enemy side. I just need my friend to know I'm their friend and I don't care. I need my friend's enemy to know that's my friend. That's all you need to know. Now shut up about them. If you got something good to say, fine. If not, shut up. Sorry, be quiet. And I don't listen to the negative. By the way, listen to this statement. I don't listen to my friend talk negative about their enemy either. I can reassure my friend's enemy that I'm not going to listen to the negative of my friend about their enemy. Everybody doing okay? If Brother Josh has an enemy, I'm not going to listen to Brother Josh tell me all the bad things about their enemy because, number one, just because they've attacked him doesn't mean they're the second coming of the booger man. They might not be a bad person, they just don't get along. Okay, we all have people like that in our life. So I'm not going to listen to the negative about the enemy, just like I'm not going to listen to the negative about my friend. Just don't listen to the negative. Boy, that's a good statement. I may not preach for that person. I may not visit a church of someone who is an enemy of my friend. Say why? Because I don't want to cause contention. Everybody listen to this story. True story. I will not give you a time frame. It's been in the last 10 years. Okay? Whether that was last week, last month, last year, or 5 years ago, you don't have any idea. And you wouldn't know who this is about, so it doesn't matter. There's only one person in this room that would, and that's my wife. And I'm not sure she knows enough of it to know who it was for sure or not. But there was a pastor who, for health reasons, stepped aside from his church. Been a slow process, but his health had gone down and stepped aside from his church. I've known that pastor for decades. Quite well. Now watch this. One of the men on their deacon board called me and said, just happened to be. I knew this person so well, I had won them to Christ. There was two members on that board that I had won to Christ. They said, Brother Bush, would you come and help us? That pastor, 20 plus years ago, was negative and critical of me. Pretty rough. And I said, it's best for me right now just to stay behind the scenes. Let me get you going. I started helping their church a little bit. Here's the problem. The pastor that stepped aside wanted to stay in the church. And wanted to put a family member up into position. And nobody else at the church wanted that person. And I said, the first thing you need to do as a board is ask the pastor to leave for the next 12 months and go to another church. Because as long as he's there, everybody's going to go like this with every decision. I said, you need to ask him to leave. It'll be the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, but it's the wisest thing you'll ever do. Trust me. He had me on a conference call with six other people. They said, Brother Bush, are you sure? I said, I'm as sure as the word of God that it's the right thing. They said, all right, it's going to cause war. I said, do you want things to go the right way or do you want it to go the other way? You asked my advice. I've got 30 years of experience. I know what I'm talking about. Sure enough, there was a bit of a war. But the pastor said he would step aside for a year. Then they called and said, would you come? And come here, we'll fly you down on a Friday. We'll meet with you all day Saturday. You can preach all day Sunday. We'll meet with you again Monday and Tuesday. You can preach again Wednesday and then go back to your church. I said, I will not. They said, why? I said, two reasons. I'm not missing my church. Second of all, because of the situation, it would be best for that person who was my enemy for me not to be there. Even though they've not attacked me in 20 years. It's best for me because he has people that follow him that also attacked that I would rather not influence. I said, just let me give you some advice from time to time behind the scenes. I chose not to go. By the way, if it happens again, and it has, I'll do the same thing. They've chosen a pastor, the church is moving forward, and things are going. But it was not right for me to go there. There would have been contention caused by my going. So I chose, even though I wanted to help people there, I said, it's best for me not to. Therefore, I didn't. Number one, I didn't want to go. Number two, I wasn't missing church here. Say, why? Why do I want to clean up a mess when we're having fun here? I just didn't want to do it. And number three, and most of all, I didn't want to go cause contention for anybody. I didn't want the slightest bit of discomfort for someone who attacked me. Or the people that defended him while they attacked me. I wasn't afraid of it. I just didn't want to cause the discomfort. So I stepped back. Real easy. Now, listen to this very carefully. Abishai didn't fellowship with Shimei. And tried to put Shimei and David back together. Did you ever notice Shimei and Abishai never got together? If they did, Shimei was coming back headless. But David said, I don't want you to become an enemy to the person who is my enemy. Just back off. I've got to hurry, number three, and I'll be done. Now listen to this one very carefully. When the attacker and the attacked are both my friends, I defend the accused. Brother Joe is my friend and Brother Juan is my friend. If Brother Joe attacks Brother Juan, I'm going to defend Brother Juan. Not because I hate Brother Joe, I love them both. But I'll defend the one who's been attacked. But if Juan turns around and attacks Brother Joe, then I'm going to defend Brother Joe and not Brother Juan. Everybody understand that? They're both my friends, but I'll defend the attacked. Now, Christians are still sinners. Why are we so shocked when sinners sin? Why are we so upset when a Christian sins? Everybody listen to this. Did you know, Brother Josh, come up here for a second. Brother Josh and I are preachers. Did you know that he's still a sinner? I do. Did you know I'm still a sinner? A real bad one sometimes. Guess what? Just because we stand on this side of the pulpit doesn't exempt us from sin. So when a preacher does something that's sinful, guess what? Shouldn't shock you. There are some sins that would cause a preacher to not be able to pastor a church. But it doesn't mean they stop being a Christian. Have a seat. Not all of my friends may get along, but I'm always going to defend the one who is attacked. Let me show you what I mean scripturally. Do you remember the story in the Bible about Jonathan and David and King Saul? Now watch this. Saul was trying to kill David. Jonathan loved his dad, but Jonathan loved David. Guess what? When Saul was attacking David, Jonathan defended David to King Saul and said, quit attacking him. He said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, back off. In other words, he loved his father and he loved David. They were both his friends, but he defended the attacked, not the attacker. The attacker was blood. The attacked was not. Everybody doing okay? By the way, I won't stop being a friend to either the attacked or the attacker. But I'll defend the attacked to the attacker. Boy, that's a good statement. I won't tell you who it is. Doesn't matter. But I had two preacher friends, that hadn't gotten along in years. I happened to be good friends with both of them. I didn't even know why they didn't get along. But one day, in a conversation with one of them, I said, what about Brother So-and-so? And they said, don't know why Brother So-and-so broke fellowship with me, but they told me just to back away and not bother them anymore. I said, really? I said, that's not what Brother So-and-so just told me recently. Well, that's what happened. Let me tell you my side of it. So they did. Well, I called the other Brother So-and-so. And I said, what about this brother? And they said, I don't know why, but just years ago, they just stopped contacting me. I thought, we have a miscommunication here. I called Brother So-and-so number one. After I talked to Brother So-and-so number two, and I said to Brother So-and-so number two, if that person called you, would you take their call? Of course I would. I pray for that person every day. I love that person. That's all I need to hear. I called person number one and I said, I've just stuck my neck out on the line with two friendships. I've just stuck my nose in some place it does not belong, but I'm willing to because I love two of my dear friends. I said, would you be willing to talk to Brother So-and-so? I said, what do you mean? I said, I've just talked to them, and their story doesn't match yours, and I think we have a miscommunication. And they said, oh, Brother Bush. And I said, I'd stake my eternal security on it that it's a miscommunication. I said, one phone call. Nobody else in America needs to know. And I don't even need to hear you say yes. Are you sure, Brother Bush? I said, I would stake my eternal security on it. I said, I believe in it that much. 2 days later, my phone rang. It's Brother So-and-so from over here. They said, I just spent 3 hours on the phone with Brother So-and-so. And I need to thank you, weeping. Things were resolved. They weren't each other's enemy. But somewhere in the mix, the attack took place. Oh, by the way, about a year or two later, I found out really what happened. And what happened was an enemy to this preacher got to that preacher. It all got worked out. God took care of it all. And now they're like hand in glove again. Nobody even knows. And that's why it's supposed to be. Now, wait a minute. A real friend will not listen to the attacks and assure you of their friendship. Can I tell you something? I'm going to assure Brother Joe I'm his friend. But I'm not going to listen to him attack somebody. And I'm going to assure Brother Juan he's my friend, but I'm not going to listen to him attack anybody. And if you get attacked, I'm going to jump in and defend you. And if you get attacked, I'm going to jump in and defend you. I might have to defend you to him and him to you, but I'll do both. Everybody doing okay? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Boy, that's good stuff. When somebody attacks, I'll let them know we'll only discuss those things on which we agree. I had a dear friend of mine years ago. Started going the wrong direction. Sent me a bunch of junk. And I said, then they called me to see if I got it. That was a wrong move. Wrong move. I said, Doc, you know what I believe. I said, it went right in a trash can. I said, you and I will talk based on the fact that you know what I believe and I haven't changed. I said, when we can agree on truth, call me. But outside of that, we're not going to discuss things. Talked to that person once in the last 15 years. Say why? Because they chose not to agree on truth. I love them, prayed for them. They've gone through a bad time. I prayed for them then. Found out a way to get... Thank God she takes after her mother. I mean, she didn't bother me at all. Don't worry about it. Can I tell you something? I hurt for that person. I won't attack them. Now, we're not going to talk about things we disagree about, but I'm not going to attack them. Let me close with this. One time while I worked for Brother Hiles, he was going through a battle. Oh, he went through battle regularly, but one of the times he called us together and as a church male staff, and he said, fellas, I'm going through a battle. This is what it's about. He said, before you say anything, he said, you keep your mouth shut till I'm done talking. And when he talked like that, it was serious because he didn't do that. He said, you will not defend me. You will not attack my attackers. I will expect you to behave the way I behave or you'll be fired. Does everybody in this room understand that? You'll have people from around the country wondering why you're not defending me. And you can tell them because you'll lose your job if you do. He said, I expect everybody to behave the way I will behave on this, or I will fire you. And he was serious. Sure enough, the calls from around America started coming in. And you get the typical, well, bless God, if you were loyal, you'd defend him. Bless God, you'd jump in the fight and you'd fight. And I said, I work for him, I don't work for you. I love my job and I'm doing what my preacher asked me to do. If you don't like it, lump it or call him, but I'm not changing what I'm doing. I was at a Saturday night staff meeting with him. He said, Brother Bush, and he gave me a list of about a half a dozen preachers. He said, did so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so call you? I said, yes, sir. He said, did you really tell him to lump it or call me? I said, that's a direct quote. Yes, sir. Of course, I'm the rookie on the staff. You know, I'm the young buck. I'm the kid. I mean, I'm the one that my first staff meeting had pulled my driver's license out and proved to him I was 29 years old because he didn't believe me. He's sitting at that conference table in his office. He said, you really told him to lump it or call me? I said, that is a direct quote. Yes, sir. I said, they have quoted me accurately. He went, that's what I'm talking about, fellas. That's what I expect. That's as close to an attaboy as I got, but I took the hint. I liked my paycheck. I liked my job. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you don't understand it, but you do what you're supposed to do. That's what and how you treat your enemies of your friends, according to the Bible. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done.